This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. We're still speaking about the chapter of al-wudu' in the book of Bulugh al-Maram. And the last thing I remember, we talked about something that worth repeating and mentioning it, that when we look at what came in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way his wudu was described, we notice that sometimes there is two forms of wudu were described. The first one, known as al-wudu al-khafif, light wudu, and also called wudu duna wudu, yani a wudu less than other wudu or less than that wudu. So as I said, you'll see the word in the descriptions wudu un duna wudu, a wudu less than that wudu. Qala fatamassah, he touched or wiped, not washed. Wudu man lam yuhdith. This is the way for the person who making wudu, not because he broke his wudu. كما قال أنس توضأ عمر وضوءا فيه تجوز. أنس رضي الله عنه said that عمر رضي الله عنه made a fast wudu. فقال هذا وضوء من لم يحدث. This is the wudu of someone who didn't break his wudu, reported by الطبري في التفسير. وعلي وصف وضوءه النزال ابن سبرة بقوله أتى بتور من ماء فأخذ منه كفا فمسح به وجهه وذراعيه ورأسه ورجليه ثم أخذ فضلة الماء فشربه وقال إن أناسا يكرهون هذا وقد رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله وهذا وضوء من لم يحدث. That النزال reported that Ali رضي الله عنه أرضاه order a container of water to be brought in front of him. So he took from it with his hand, he filled his hand with water. فَمَسَحَ بِهَا وَجْهَهُ وَذِرَاعَيْهِ. He washed his face, his hands, his head, and his feet. But the word مَسَحَ here, he washed in a very light way. Not like washing and spending time to make sure that every single part of the hand completely washed and basically you go over it with your hand or rub it with your hand. No. And he said, no, people don't like that. Don't like this fast kind of wudu. But I saw the Prophet did what I did. And this is the wudu of someone who did not break his wudu. وفي مسند أبي يعلى عن أبي العالية قال حدثني من كان يخدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وذكر وضوءه في المسجد بقوله وضوءا خفيفا في جوف المسجد. That one of the people who used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the companion, whenever they used to make wudu inside the masjid, they will make the wudu very fast and very light. Why? Because in the old days, the masjid is basically what? Sand, صح? It's like not covered with the carpet as we have. So people will make wudu actually inside the masjid, not outside the masjid. So whenever we do that, they don't want to make it muddy. So they will use a very little amount of what? Water. فيكون وضوءهم خفيفة, very light. ومثله عن ابن عباس في وصف وضوءه لصلاة الليل توضأ من شن معلق وضوءا خفيفة في الصحيحين. That in the night prayer woke up and he made wudu inside the house. So you don't want to make a mess inside the house. Old days, there is no carpet in the house. So all these ahadith give this description. And Usama radiallahu anhu said, when it comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, في الحج حينما دفع من عرفة إلى المزدلفة توضأ وضوءا خفيفا. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Muzdalifa, left Arafah, going to Muzdalifa, he urinated and he made wudu khafif, very light, so he can keep going. And في غزوة تبوك أبا قتادة روي أنه نام فتوضأ من ميضاءة وضوءا دون وضوء. So all these يعني descriptions, what it means? It means that this type of wudu, عدد الغسلات أقل والماء المستخدم أقل. That the number of repetition is less, only one time. They will not wash his face three times. Will not wash his hand three times. Okay? He will not wash his feet three times. It will be only one time. And the amount of water is way less than the regular wudu. And there will not be dalk. There will not be ghasl, rubbing the hand. Just wiping over it with the water. So your hand is wet and you just wipe over your hand. You don't need to actually take the water and to pour it over the hand. Your hand is wet, you just wash the face. You didn't need to take the water and to wash the face. So that's what's called wudu khafif. It doesn't mean that you skip part of your hand or you skip part of your face or you skip part of your feet. No. That's why Nakhai rahimahullah قال كانوا يكرهون أن يلطموا وجوههم بالماء لطما وكانوا يمسحونها قليلا قليلا. They hated the people to slap their face with water. But they will take the water and they wipe their face with the water. Or they will take a little bit of water and they will basically wash their face this way. And report from Ibn Abi Shayba. Usama, when he said that the Prophet ﷺ made wudu, which is very light, when he was about to leave Arafah to Muzdalifah, he said, when the Prophet ﷺ reached Muzdalifah, al-Hadith al-Sahihain, قَالَ فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مُزْدَلِفَ تَوَضَّأَ فَأَسْبَغَ الْوُضُوءِ مَا قَلْبَ خَفِيفَ. He said when he reached Muzdalifah and he's going to spend the night, his wudu was perfected, was completed in a way that it is like the regular way, which is three times with the proper amount of water, make sure that the water wash every part of his body, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And whenever الوضوء السابغ المنقي فيه مبالغة في المضمضة والاستنشاق. That النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he will take his time to make the wudu, perfect the wudu, he will rinse his mouth and pull the water inside his nose, all the way inside his nose. And he will rinse his mouth multiple times, let the water basically rinse inside his mouth, then he spit it out. And he will repeat that three times, every part of his body part except the hair. He did only one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm saying this because sometimes you might need in traveling or, you know, like sometimes I see people in the bathroom of the airports or even you, if you are in the airplane, you might need to use that al-wudu duna wudu or wudu an khafifa, light wudu. Okay? You don't need to make wudu to, some people, mashallah, when they make wudu, they offer wudu to the people next to them. And the amount of water that splash left and right, you know, the other person can use it to make wudu too. And you just need to receive all the water. Then the second hadith that it was mentioned in the book, hadithun azeemun jiddan, one of the greatest hadith in the wudu. As a matter of fact, it is the most important hadith when it comes to the way to perform wudu, which is hadith Humran and Uthman radiallahu anhu arda, أنه دعا بوضوء فغسل كفيه ثلاثة مرات. Humran said that Uthman radiallahu anhu called for water to perform ablution. He washed palms of his hands three times, then rinsed his mouth and sniffed water in his nose and then blow it out. He then washed his face three times. Thereafter, he washed his right hand up to his elbow three times. Then he left the left likewise. He did his left hand likewise three times. Then he passed wet hands on his head. He washed his right foot up to the ankle three times. Then the left one likewise. He then said, I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing ablution like this ablution of mine. This hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. قال صلى الله عليه رضي الله عنه قال ثم غسل يديه اليمنى إلى المرفق ثلاث مرات ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك ثم مسح برأسه ثم غسل رجله اليمنى إلى الكعبين ثلاث مرات ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك ثم قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توضأ نحو وضوء هذا. متفق عليه. وعن علي رضي الله عنه أن علي رضي الله عنه in the hadith describing the way the Prophet performed wudu قال ومسح برأسه واحدة. He wiped over his head only one time. في سنن أبي داود. وعن عبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم رضي الله عنهما that Abdullah the son of Zayd ibn Asim said in the description of the Prophet ﷺ ablution. قال ومسح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم برأسه فأقبل بيديه وأدبر. That the Prophet ﷺ wiped over his head with both hands. أقبل, يعني he went all the way back. Then he came all the way to the front. وفي لفظ لهما, and also another narration, Sahih Bukhari Muslim, فبدأ بمقدم رأسه. Start with the beginning of his head. His forehead, until he went all the way to the qafah, to the back of his neck. ثم ردهما إلى المكان الذي بدأ من. Then he came back all the way to where he started. Because when you say أقبل وأدبر, he came forward, then he went back. So you might, what that came forward? Came forward this way, then went back? Or came forward this way, it came back? You will be confused, and you know, how to understand it. So the other narration explained what he meant. He meant, this is Aqbal. Yani Aqbal went forward, yani went to the back of his head. Then Adbar came back this way to the front. Okay? وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه. And also in the way of the wudu, قال مسح برأسه. He wiped over his head. وأدخل إصبعيه السباحتين. Allah. العرب كان تسميهما السبابتان. سمعت كلمة السبابتان before? Have you heard the word سبابة? سبابة is this finger. You know what سبابة means? Because you use people to يسبون الناس بها. Because they used to curse people with it. من السب يعني always curse and use it in bad words. Okay? But when Islam came, purified their tongue, فأصبحت السباحتين. It became the finger that used to say, لا إله إلا الله, تنزه الله عن الشريك وعن عبادة غير. See, Islam changed people's behavior, even the small thing. قال فأدخل إصبعيه. إصبعيه, is that how we pronounce? إصبع or أصبعيه or أصبعيه. All of them correct. Actually, there is 18 ways to pronounce the word isba. The Arab pronounced the word isba in 18 different ways. ثمان وعشر من لغات أتت لنا. There's 18 ways been recorded from the Arab how they pronounce the word isba, usbu, isba, asba. بتثليث الأوائل كلها يمر with هم with فتحة كسرة ضم. Then you go to the ba, you put أصبع أو الصاد, you make ضم or إصبع or أصبع. And the ba, there is 18 different ways of pronouncing it. Anyway, he put his two fingers, index fingers, in his ear. ومسح بإبهامه ظاهر أذني. Then he wiped the back of his ears with his basically thumb. I reported by Abi Dawood and Nasa'i and Ibn Khuzaymah said it's sahih. Let's study this hadith a little bit more. راوي هذا الحديث, the narrator of hadith Uthman رضي الله عنه, his name is, the Humran, the one who narrated the hadith. First of all, Uthman رضي الله عنه, There is about 20 people reported this incident from Uthman. 20 رجل روى عن عثمان هذه القصة. There is about 20 people narrated and told us the story of Uthman رضي الله عنه. Among them, our man, Humran. But there is another 19 people reported what Humran reported to us. Some of these narrations are weak. Some of these narrations are authentic and sound. But Humran's narration is the best of all of them. It's the best one of all of them. That's why Humran's narration, you will find it in al-Bukhari wa Muslim, and Abi Dawood wa Nasa'i wa Tirmidhi wa Ibn Majah, and Ahmad in al-Musnad. And the way they prefer his narration for many reasons. Number one, because he was very close to Uthman, كان من أقرب الناس لعثمان, and he's his servant. وكان كاتبا, he knows how to read and to write, educated person. وحاجبا, and he was basically in charge of Uthman's affairs. وحديثه قليل, يا سلام. And his narrations in the books of Sunnah are very few. Questions. Is this an advantage or disadvantage? Why would this became an advantage for Humran over other people who narrated many other narrations in the books of Hadith? Ahmed, what do you think? Why this is will be mentioned as an advantage for Humran over others? They said one of his advantage over the other 19 people, أن أحاديثه قليلة. His narrations are very few. Yes, why? He didn't narrate few because he's careful. Mm-mm. Hamza, what do you think? It is easier to remember very well 10 hadith or 200 hadith. Which one you will be able to master better? The fewest, 10. And because he didn't narrate too many, he was able to be focused on the few that he narrated and perfected them. So he's so careful about making sure that they are absolutely correct. قِلَّتْ رِوَايَتِهِ لِأَنَّهُ كَانْ يَتَحَرَّ الضَّبْتِ. Okay? And Uthman radiallahu an, just for the record, he became angry at him later on in his life, ونفاه, and he kicked him out. And he told him, you're not allowed to be with me. And نفاه, and he basically expelled him to another city or another country. And there is a reason behind that, because as you heard me saying, he was servant and he was in charge of Uthman's court. So he released one of Uthman's secrets to other people. Afsha sirra li Uthman. There is a story behind that. Anyway, Uthman got angry at him and said, out. And he moved from Medina to where? To Al-Iraq, to Al-Basra. And in Basra, he narrated this hadith and other ahadith. And this hadith is very famous, especially from Uthman. What made this hadith so famous like that? That 20 people narrated this from Uthman. Because Uthman did something very interesting. Uthman, لما روى هذا الحديث فعل شيئا جميلا رضي الله عنه. He did something very beneficial and beautiful. حكى هذا الحديث عثمان وروى هذا الحديث وهو على باب المسجد يتوضأ. So when Uthman wanted to narrate this hadith, if you remember, Humran was describing what Uthman did. He brought the water, he washed this, he washed that. Then Uthman in the end said, that's how the Prophet did. Uthman didn't just do that in a private setting. He was in the masjid during the salah time, or before the salah time. He went outside in the masjid and he made it in front of everybody to teach people how to make wudu. So he demonstrated this in front of the public. That's why there is so many people narrated this hadith. And I will tell you that this is number one reference in any books of hadith, in any books of fiqh, when it comes to how the Prophet ﷺ performed wudu. And Uthman radiallahu anh taking the reward of every Muslim making wudu since the time of Uthman until today, until this class. So whatever you're going to learn in this class, Uthman take the ajr for it, radiallahu anh. وهذا من بركة تعليم العلم وبركة الرواية. And this from the blessing of spreading knowledge, beneficial knowledge. Because some knowledge are not beneficial. There's no practice underneath it, beneath it. Or there is, doesn't lead to any practice. طيب. You might say, why the description of the Prophet ﷺ wudu never was narrated by Abu Bakr or Umar? It was narrated by Uthman and Ali, but not by Abu Bakr and Umar. Al ulama rahimahullah said, because Abu Bakr and Umar, they were close to the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Uthman radiallahu anhu farther from the Prophet ﷺ time. And Uthman times, there is a lot of new Muslims. A lot of people came from Iraq, from Syria, from Egypt to Medina. A whole entire new generation. Because most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum died by the end of Uthman's time. ولذلك القرن الثاني, the second generation in Islam, كما قال شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله, يبدأ من نهاية عهد عثمان. The second generation in Islam started by the end of Uthman's time, where the majority, القرن معناه أكثر الناس. So the most living people among Muslims by the end of Uthman's time were the second generation Muslims. So a lot of them need to be taught how to pray. And one of the beautiful things about this hadith, that Uthman did this in front of many companions. They were watching Uthman, among them Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and Ibn Abbas and others. And all of them approved what Uthman did. And that gave Uthman's hadith superiority over any other narration. Because it's not only Uthman, it's Uthman and the companions who witness him. That's also we're going to learn when we study, inshallah, if Allah give umr lana, when we study the way of the Prophet ﷺ salah. Hadith Wa'il ibn Hijr, one of the most important hadith in how the Prophet ﷺ performed salah. Wa'il ibn Hijr, what he did in front of 30 companions, 30 min al-sahaba, almost. He stood up and he said, I will pray two rak'ad like the Prophet ﷺ pray. Then after he finished, he said, Sadaqt. That's how the Prophet prayed. So the narration of Wa'il ibn Hijr became not only his, him, and 30 other companions. And the same case here with Uthman radiallahu anhu arda. Umar radiallahu anhu reported to us masa'il daqiqa fil wudu. Reported to us some things in wudu they might but not noticed or known to some of the companions, like wiping the ears, wiping over the imama. But he didn't talk the obvious, which is how to perform wudu, because most of the companions knows this knowledge already. The Prophet ﷺ wudu described by many companions. The most famous ones are Uthman, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Zayd, and this is hadith of al-Sahihain, Bukhari Muslim, Abu Huraira, Aisha, Muawiyah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Al-Bara ibn Azib, Wa'il ibn Hijr, Bilal ibn Abi Rabah, Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shu'bah, Aydan hadith of al-Sahih, Anas, عبد الله بن أنيس، الربيع بن معوذ، جابر بن عبد الله. All these companions narrated and described how the Prophet ﷺ made wudu. And it's not surprised because this is a very famous or very important act of worship. The most authentic narration of all these on the top, number one, by all the ulama al-hadith, hadith Uthman. On the top. And comes after that, Hadith Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Zayd. So, why Uthman is the best? As I said, number one, because Uthman is the best of all of them. Number two, The narrations of Uthman radiallahu an contain so many rules, contain so many details, you will never find it in any other hadith, in any other companion. That's why Bukhari Muslim started it with hadith Uthman before mentioning any other companion's narration, the companions of other narration. Also, as I said, because he did this in front of other companions. He did in front of Ali, in front of Zubair, in front of Talha, in front of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. The senior scholars among the successor were there. And no one ever objected to him or to any one of the things that he mentioned. So it shows you that this is something what? Agreed upon by all of them. Let's explore what we can cover in this few minutes left for me tonight, what came in the hadith. In the beginning, I want to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make wudu, and he explained a little bit about how the wudu should be done in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين.
Oh, you believe, if you stand up for salah, wash your faces, your hands, all the way to the elbows, and wipe your head. And wash your what? Feet, all the way to the ankles. So this verse shows us that if you want to pray, you must perform wudu. And this verse showed us, or telling us, that certain parts of your body must be washed, and another part must be what? Wiped over. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, some must be washed and some must be wiped, that means Allah intended to make that distinguish. So you're not allowed to wipe the one that it was supposed to be washed, and you're not allowed to wash what is supposed to be wiped over. Okay? And that's why, if we know the details of how this can be done, you need to look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because as-sunnah hiya bayan al-Qur'an. As-sunnah is the explanation of the Qur'an. We need to look at how the Prophet ﷺ understood this verse and how he practiced it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same way we do in Hajj and Salah and so forth. And this will allow us to know what was mentioned in the Quran, established what is obligatory upon us. So what the Prophet ﷺ will do as an explanation of these four parts, all must be considered an obligatory act in wudu. And whatever he will do outside these four, it will be considered a recommended act. يعني ما فعله في بيان هذه الأربع داخل في الوجوب وما خارجها فهو في المندب. So anything out these four, it will be a recommended act. But anything he did to explain these four, it became wajib. And this is one of the rules that the fuqaha put to understand how to distinguish between the Prophet's action, which is considered wajib or considered recommended. He said, غَسَلَ كَفَّيْهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. So he started with washing his palms three times. Did the Quran mention washing the palms? No. Quran didn't talk about washing the hands three times. Your palms three times. But Uthman did. Remember what I said. So anything from the Prophet's actions outside the four in the Quran, it means what? It's a recommended act. That's why washing the palms in the beginning of the wudu is sunnah. It's not wajib. It is a recommended act. And by the way, some said maybe the Prophet ﷺ washed his hand before he start wudu, because he woke up from sleeping. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you woke up from sleep, do not touch the water or do not use hand until what? You wash your hand three times, because you don't know أَيْنَ بَاتَتْ يَدُكْ. You don't know where is your hand spend the night. So it maybe had something dirty in it, need to be washed to be clean before you eat or before you put it in the water or anything like that. Put it in your mouth and put it in your face. Okay, so you wash it. But no, this washing the hand three times before making wudu has nothing to do with sleep. Because this never was reported that the Prophet did this in relation to Fajr prayer or in relation to Salah that comes after sleep. It was given as a general description. طيب. Some said, maybe you need to wash your hand three times, okay, before you start wudu, because in wudu, in the old days, how it is, it's like a container, you put your hand in it and you take the water. So you need to wash it before you make the water dirty. But what if now you open the faucet and you wash your hand? You make wudu. Do you still need to wash? Yes, because in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes he will have someone to pour the water over him. But he still will wash his hand three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question. If you woke up from your sleep and you're about to make wudu, the Prophet said, wash your hand three times before you start. So that means you have to wash your hand six times. Wash three, as you wake up from wudu. Then you do three for the wudu, waking up, you do three times. Then now you're going to make wudu, you can do another three. الصحيح أن العبادتين إذا دخل بعضهما في بعض لاتفاق العلة اللي هي طهارة اليد أغنت واحدة عن الأخرى. If two acts of worship have the same reason behind them, you combine them together in one. Like you came to the masjid. The Prophet said, do not sit until what? You pray. Sah? Out of respect. So you came and you pray dhuhr. Do you still need to pray another two rak'ah for tahiyat al-masjid? No, because you prayed. You prayed sunnat al-fajr. You didn't pray two sunnat. I see people do that. They pray two rak'ah for tahiyat al-masjid and two rak'ah for sunnat al-fajr. Min qillat al-fiqh. That's not understanding the concept. The point is to pray before you sit. So these two acts of worship came, the purpose is the same, which is you don't sit before you pray. The purpose is to pray, the reason behind the two rak'ah is to pray before you sit. That happened. So the same thing, the purpose is to clean your hand. So you clean your hand after you wake up from wudu, from sleeping, or you clean hand before you start the wudu. Then in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then Uthman said, ثم توضأ واستنشق واستنثر. That Uthman radiallahu anhu rinsed his basically mouth, then he snipped the water in his nose and then blew it out. We'll do this inshallah next week because there is a lot of talk about the ruling of rinsing the mouth and sniffing the water and throwing it out. But next week we will not have this long introduction that we had today. I just want to bring you back to the mood of the hadith Uthman radiallahu anh. And inshallah ta'ala next week we will continue our discussion because there's a lot of interesting information to know about how the wudu should be done. And it should be much, hopefully it will make things much easier for you guys whenever you make your wudu. Yes.
You have to, so when you're going to do something three times, you have to make three hand grabs for like, you got water, you got like some water on your hand, and then you're going to wipe your arm, for example. Are you supposed to grab water a second time? Is it count it a second? Or you can wipe it three times?
Whenever the hadith said he did it three times, it means every time he take a fresh water, new water. So if you're going to wash your feet three times, it means you put the water on your feet three times. Yeah, but if you put your feet underneath the faucet and the water running over it, it will be basically, you basically wash it with your hand three times. Yes. I'll take both of you, so anyway. a light wudu, it doesn't mean incomplete wudu. That's not called khafif. Khafif, it means a complete wudu. But you don't repeat three times, you reduce the amount of water, you don't need to wash, okay? That khafif. But if somebody made wudu, then he remembered later on that I forgot to wipe over my head, or I forgot one of the pillars of wudu. If he's still in the time of the salah, he should make it, go back, make wudu, and pray again. Yes. He said, some people said when you start teaching the kids, you should teach them the perfect wudu to repeat it three times. Don't teach them the one time so they don't get lazy and, you know, they became, this is the default. I see the point in that. I see it in my kids. Okay. But I see the point of the other argument, because that will make things easy for them as well, at least the perfect one. I really don't know. I don't know. I will leave that to the parents to do that, to make that decision. It's a good point to discuss. I don't know. But if you teach them the right way, because I'm worried if you teach them the three times, they will not even perfect it. At least let them perfect the wudu. And if they make it correct, nothing missing in their feet or their hands when they make the wudu. Yes. Anything from the sisters or brother's side? Sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim taslima kathira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.